shift over to Pastor Greg, and he can help you understand some of the things a good shepherd is doing.
Thanks, Glenn.
Yep.
Well, I need to tell you that you know, every time I sit through something like this, I just feel my emotions well up. And it's difficult, but it's not something that anyone in this room can't tackle. I want to take you back to where Good Shepherd found its way to Africa, because I think it's just good contextual understanding. Pastor Gary and I had been gifted by one of our members here to go to Arizona, to Phoenix, to a Promise Keepers event at then Bank One Ballpark. And we were to be there to learn and grow. And taking the dais that night was a guy that, I think many of you know this book, Prayer of Jabez, do you know? Remember this little book? Well, the writer of this book, Bruce Wilkinson, was up on the dais and he was speaking to us. And he was talking to us as pastors about something that he saw on the face of this globe that churches in the United States were not recognizing, and it was the pandemic, not the epidemic, but the pandemic globally of HIV/AIDS. And Gary and I sat there, and I wasn't looking at all at him, or I don't think anyone in this baseball stadium was moving, and we were focused. And I remember tears just flowing down my face. And I looked to my right, and tears are flowing down Gary's face. And we said nothing to each other. We went to dinner. We left quietly. And the challenge was that churches like ours in the United States would get in the game. And they had offered an opportunity for pastors to go on what was known as a vision trip. And so as we sat at dinner, and we looked across the table and said, so what are we going to do with that? And Gary looked at me and says, well, I go to Honduras. I guess you're going to Africa. And I got to tell you, I was scared out of my gourd. I like to adventure, but to go someplace globally that I didn't understand was not in my DNA at that time. And sometimes we think we can't graft things in. And the Gentiles were grafted into the Jewish tree, right? So why can't we have things grafted into our hearts? So if you're sitting here today and you're saying, well, this is like not me. No, that was me. It was not me. And there's an opportunity for everybody to get in the game at some level. And so we signed up here at Good Shepherd to be partners with World Vision to go on a vision trip. And I got all of the details into my possession. And they took these trips all around the African continent. But they were really looking at sub-Saharan Africa. So if you kind of look at it, maybe a third, take the third north off and just everything south, that's what they were looking at. That's where HIV/AIDS was going crazy. And so I happened to be assigned to go to Kenya. And Kenya, if you look at the map, is that right off to the right kind of center of the gray country that's there. And just to its west is a purple country, that's Uganda, and then the golden country is Tanzania. And so I ended up there in Kenya and flew into Nairobi, and I still remember, I was like, I fish out of water doesn't even do justice to what was going on in my brain. And we then went through seminars about HIV/AIDS. And I remember then being assigned to go to Uganda. And we went way deep in the bush in Uganda. And there I learned about the plight of HIV/AIDS. It's not just a disease that kills people. It was something that was being forced upon women because men were just having sex with whoever they wanted to. They would go out and they'd go to the big city, and there'd be the big traffic trucking industry, and there would be prostitutes along the way just trying to earn any kind of money, and they would have sex with those women, and then they'd come home and they would think nothing about having sex with their wife, and they'd infect, and then things spiraled out of control, and there were no medications. In fact, today, medications in Africa are not as easy. You know, you look at our poster child for HIV/AIDS, right, Magic Johnson? He looks as good today as he did when we found out he was infected with HIV. That's because he has the money to be able to put inside of his body the drugs to hold the virus at bay. They don't have that in Africa. When they get infected, they die, and they die a vicious death. And proportionately, the women are infected and then die, and then children orphaned and left alone. So this impacted my life like huge. And I remember coming home and thinking to myself, well, what do I do with all this, God? What do you really want me to do? And started some conversations around the campus of Good Shepherd, and I started to realize there were people here who had been to Africa and people here who had a heart to go to Africa. And so we organized a trip of people who would go and be visionaries for the future of where we were heading. And so we found ourselves going down into Tanzania and right in the northern area, Arusha, and back into Kenya. And we visited probably like 10 different places. And one of the places we visited really was a gift from God. And this is the first time we were there in Africa at a place called Cheryl's Children's Home. It says rescue center, too. So that's exactly what it was. And it was corrugated metal. And see the barbed wire down at the bottom? We were like, are you kidding me? There's kids running around here, and they have barbed wire out there. And it was just a very dilapidated place. There was a room that all of the children slept in. It wasn't a big room, and all the bunk beds were like intertwined, and they were sleeping two to a bed, and it was dusty and it was dirty. And so we found ourselves into the Cheryl's. There's another picture of the compound. In fact, that has the date, June 13th, 2005 was the date of this trip. I had originally gone in 2004. So you can see it was a kind of rundown environment. But pretty soon, what we learned about Cheryl's is that it was a place where children would come when they had been affected by HIV/AIDS. Their parents had died. They were no longer infected. But the children who lived there were living a life, some with brothers or sisters, some with no one, maybe an aunt and uncle, some place that did not care all that much. In Kenya, the government will care for children up to 2 years of age. And after that, zero. There's no social system like we have in the United States. There's no tax exemption if you give money. None of that exists. So we learned as we went along that this place was the prime mover. It is a place called Kibera. And if you are trying to find the horizon of those homes, good luck. It's like Crazyville. And I remember the first time I went to Kibera, I quickly understood what it was. You see Kibera and it blows your mind because it's so big. You smell Kibera, that's open sewage. You begin to taste it in your mouth. You begin to feel it on your body. It's like when you get back to your hotel, you want to take a shower. That's how you feel after you finish. And this is where all the kids were living who came to Kibera. Another one of those pictures, open raw sewage. You smell it, just garbage all over the place, homes. Tell you, it's Crazyville. So we went to Cheryl's and with some great people along. You're going to hear from Ken Holland in a minute, who has just been a beacon of light. We began to say, we can make a difference. We can make a difference for children who have been orphaned, who don't have parents. And so along that way, we've been able to make some wonderful inroads. So here's just how you can see the old Cheryl's, and then you can start to see some construction that Good Shepherd helped. And this is a picture of pretty much the current day Cheryl's, and it looks so different. It looks different because God's gifted us, and we partnered with another organization called Kenya Builds, and we were able to make a difference. And there's a school there. I want to speak a little bit about that school. For the students of that school, and they're wonderful children. Many of them still come from Kibera. There's about 80 students or so who live at Cheryl's, 70 plus. And of those, then, there are additional students who come from Kibera every day for school. And so as you look at these students, that little girl is dear to Ida Lins in my heart. She now calls us mom and dad. As we have cared for her, she's on her way to high school. But she is totally alone. She has a twin brother, and she hasn't seen him in years. And so the joy of these kids is what has driven us. But the reality of these children is that many of them, in fact, we found out the last time we were there last February, the majority of the kids that come from Kibera are single mom children. Dads have either evacuated and left or they've died. And now single moms bring their kids to Cheryl's for education. But really, you know what they're bringing them for? A meal. A place where they can find some connectivity. And so underneath all of this that we were looking at and where God had driven, there are a lot of women's issues. Because if we're not there to help these children, especially the young ladies, they'll become moms like at too early of an age. Just as they're heading into what we would call middle school age, they'll be giving birth to children. And their lives will just be totally a mess for the rest of their lives. And if it's not one parent, it'll be another and another. And it just keeps trickling down. One of the other dynamics that happens to children in Africa that was totally just, it caught me off guard. Males have been circumcised, and we hear about it in the Bible all the time. But there is a female mutilation, that's really what it is, of the genital area of little girls that happens in many of the cultures in sub-Saharan Africa. And, you know, don't go into graphic detail on that, but you can just imagine why. It serves no purpose, rite of passage, or not caring about what a woman can be and should be and can blossom into by God's gifts. And we've been gifted in this church to make change in a place called Cheryl's Children's Home. And so there's a sign. I love that sign. Welcome the Good Shepherd. And so when we're kind of, they treat us like royalty, don't they? It's kind of a cool thing. And these kids, they get so stoked when they see us coming. We've been able to supply things. They're just some of the pictures that I pulled from a vast array. They're mattresses. You'd say, well, that's how thick a mattress. Yeah, that's what they sleep on. But we've been able to help them out. We've been able to have beds made by some metal workers along the street area. And I'm sure Ken will touch base. The quilts that our women, Linda, your crew that works with those quilts. That was like a day and a half of celebration when we handed those quilts out. Those kids, those quilts are still a part. And if any of you make the dresses for the little girls, it's your big part of that, aren't you? They just beam. We've done that in Guatemala as well. And so along the way, we've got this opportunity to affect change. Here we're doing some optical. How'd you like to have your eye exam in an area like that? But these kids have never had visual exams ever before, and we were able to do that a couple of times over the course of time. And this is one where I'm sure that they don't like us very much after they come out having a tooth pulled or so, but they've never had dental care either. And so we set up a little, that's Dr. Ruby. Dr. Ruby is this wonderful woman that we've established a relationship with, and she helps not only in the dental care. Another picture of the classroom of today. There's the compound. It just was painted last year, which is really a cool thing. So Cheryl's Children's Home, big, huge gift to us. I want to exit out of here, and I'll play for you a little video that I put together, and we put this together, well, it was, I guess, for a series here at Good Shepherd. Let's see if I can get this up. There we go. So take a listen to this.
8,000 miles from Chicago, Illinois, is Nairobi, Kenya, a bustling metropolis of 3 million people serving Eastern Africa and the world. Also in Nairobi is Kibera, the largest slum in sub-Saharan Africa. 1 million people find Kibera to be their home, living in abject poverty that overwhelms their lives. serving the children of Kibera is Cheryl's Children's Home, a beacon of light, of hope, of promise. At Cheryl's, 70 children live. 260 children attend school. For the past 6 years, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church has brought support to Cheryl's and the children who call this special place home, building dormitories, sponsoring children, providing medical care, clean water, and food are part of the support that Good Shepherd engages. It's where heaven and earth meet.
So that was a series that we did, Heaven and Earth, and it is that. You're bringing God's gifts of heaven into the lives of families that aren't families like we have in the United States. Every time I come home, I have a case of the guilties, every time. We live in the top 3% of the wealthiest people on the face of this earth. I would imagine in this room right now, there are some of you who have been maybe moaning and groaning a little bit about your financial problems. How are you going to do this, or where you're going to get the money to do this, or maybe you're working on income taxes and you're like going, how am I ever going to do this? Maybe you're looking at retirement and you're like, how am I going to live forever as I want to on the same income? We're in the top 3%. And when you go and you realize that it's a family desire of our family here to care for families that are broken, lack of moms is a huge, huge issue. And so Ken's going to talk a little bit, and then we're going to conclude real fast. We're coming to the end of time. So Ken's going to tell you just raw, and there are a couple others in this room who have been around. Charlotte's in the back there, and Vanjie Speckles, and who else is here that has been on one of our Africa trips? You can talk with any of us. But Ken's going to tell you a little bit about what he saw the first time. Because Ken is like this construction dude. And you know, this was, what was it like the first time I even suggested that you go to Africa?
I said, you got the wrong guy. I don't think I want to go to Africa, Greg. He said, well, we've identified a place over there called Cheryl's Children's Home. And they have some... They need some things, and they need some construction things. And I know you've gone on mission trips before, and your background's in construction, and you'd be really a good person to go and help us out and help them out. And I said, well, that may be, Greg, but I really don't want to go to Africa. I don't know why I would be the one. And after prayerful consideration and a lot of arm twisting, Greg said, well, we're planning a trip. I'd like you to come over there and see what you could do. And I said, well, I don't know. Okay, well, we'll do it. So in 2005,
six,
we went on the first trip to Africa. And it was with a group that was going to Uganda. And so we met up for a night there. And then they left, and I was at Cheryl's for the week and trying to decide what we at Good Shepherd would be able to do to help them out. And person that ran the orphanage at that time, a fellow named Sam Sambuli, he started the orphanage, and since that time he's passed, and his wife is really running it, the administrator now of the orphanage. And I looked at it and I said, boy, we've got tin roof houses. Excuse me. All these people, all these kids are crowded in, sleeping three to a bed, and there's just so much that needs to be done here. And you know, to bring people over here from Good Shepherd, it's very expensive to travel here. And plus, I found out my guide that they had arranged to have with me that week was actually my bodyguard. I found that out in the end of the week. And I said, this guy is, he was my guide. I thought he was just showing me the local spots and stuff and how to get around in town. And I found out he was a national taekwondo champion from Kenya. So it was comforting. We didn't need any of his professional services, but it was nice to know he was with me. Since then, I don't need the bodyguard. I just kind of know where to go and stay out of a lot of the places that a lot of people would stumble into. So I'm still not sure why I'm here. I said, boy, this is pretty tough place, and it's very emotional. And after about the second day, Sam said, "Come take a walk with me." So we walked towards kind of the back of their compound that now has all those buildings in it. And I looked, and there was a little bit of a yard there, and there were some trenches in the ground. And he said, "You know, we don't have any money here. Things are pretty tough. We're barely struggling to do what we do." And he said, "But God has a plan for us, and we don't know exactly how this is going to happen, but we had church service here a couple weeks ago, and we said, you know, we have to do something. God wants us to move on and to make things better." So we came out here after church service, and we got some picks and shovels, and we dug the trenches. And we realized that's all we could do because we had no more resources. And we said, "God, it's up to you." And at that moment, I realized why I was in Africa, because I felt that we could share some of our gifts and we could help them. And God has, since that time, through Good Shepherd, done great things. And we've partnered with other organizations. We helped them build some schools. We've helped them provide food and clothing and a lot of things. There's a lot more to do. Pastor Greg mentioned about the school and the children coming from the parents in Kibera, and they're mostly single parents. And they come there because about 10 o'clock in the morning, they're going to get a cup of porridge. And about 2 in the afternoon, they're going to take a break, and they're going to get maybe some beans or some cabbage. And most likely, that's all they're going to have to eat. And education's important to the people at Kibera, but more important is to have their children fed. And they know if they go to school, they're going to get something to eat that day. And that's today. That's today's situation. It's not something that all of a sudden now it's better and they're, you know, we're getting carry-out chicken. They're really struggling and continue to struggle. We could spend probably from now till the weekend telling different stories, very moving stories that we see. We come home after a day at Cheryl's emotionally exhausted from what we've seen, the experiences we've had. We currently sponsor 24 students, 24 children at Kibera. A lot of the children don't have sponsors right now. In a sponsorship, the students are going to school, they're being taken care of, they're being cared for. Things are getting better. We've seen some successes in the 10 years we've been there. Several of our students that have gone through Cheryl's, both sponsored students and the other children, have now gone through their kindergarten through eighth grade programs, have gone through high school, and have graduated and are out in the community and starting to earn a living and being very successful. We've had several students that we've run into. Just the only thing I can say is God's planned us to be there at that day. A year ago we were there, and they said, "We'd like you to meet this fellow named Walter." Okay, Walter wasn't one of our sponsored children. I met Walter. Walter was a really nice guy. It was a big smile, and I said, "Well, how you doing, Walter?" He said, "Okay." He said, "But I can't go to school." I said, "What do you mean you can't go to school?" He said, "Well, I finished my eighth grade education here at Cheryl's, but I'd like to get to high school, but I can't get to high school. There's no way for me to get to high school." So finding out about Walter's story, Walter, in Kenya, to move from your eighth grade to your next level of education, you have to take a national exam. And on the national exam, depending on where you score, will depend on whether you qualify to go to school, because you need a minimum score before you can move on to high school. If you don't reach that minimum, you now enter the workforce as an eighth grader. And once you qualify on that national exam, depends on how well you do, will depend on what caliber of school you qualify to go to, much like we have in the United States for higher education. Well, Walter scored in the top 10% of the nation, coming from an education that you saw at the schools at Cheryl's, which was really impressive. And I said, wow, this person's really talented. And I said, Walter, I talked to Pastor Greg. I said, we will find a sponsor for you. Tomorrow you will start school. And we found the funds to get Walter started in school. When you go to school, by the way, secondary school is a boarding school. You have to bring everything to school with you. That means your mattress, your bedding, your pillow, your toilet paper, your soap, everything, because they will provide you with your meals, your books, and your education. But everything else you pay for. So Walter started school, and he's in one of the very best schools in the country. We just got a letter for him recently. And out of the 1,300 students in the school, Walter has moved from number 8 to number 2 in class rank.
Mm.
So God's working great things. And we see that all the time. Again, we could talk for hours and hours about stories. But the question is now, where do we go from here? How can we help these children? How can we help the families that need the help in Cabrera? Pastor Greg's description of Cabrera was right on. It's a very interesting place indeed, a place that you wouldn't want to spend a lot of time. So,
thanks, Ken. Thanks. You just popped it over there. This all began, Cindy was touched by Half the Sky. And she's been having conversations with Glenn and myself and others around. And she said, so what do you know? Where is Half the Sky? Cheryl's is a Half the Sky place. There are women who lead well at Cheryl's, but there's a void of motherhood in the place. And we were thinking and just wondering if over the course of the next few weeks that you might pray as small growth group entities about partnering with an aspect of the Half the Sky dimension that we find in Kenya. It's one place. We could go to a lot of places, one place. And be moms to children. Be support to single moms who struggle to get their kids to school. And what we're going to do over the next few weeks is bring for you a whole list of ways that you could intersect. From sponsoring children, we're going to have a big sponsorship event here at Good Shepherd on the 17th of April, not only including Cheryl's children's home students that aren't sponsored yet, but also World Vision children in an area that we work with in Uganda. But there are ways that you could make an impact partnering with moms in Kibera who struggle, as I said, to get their kids to school, sponsoring with health issues or issues of water or issues of food. We're going to try to make that vivid to you. One of the things that I've done over the course of the last 12 years, gifted by God, now my heart breaks. I get Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision. Have you ever heard his phrase, "Break my heart, God, with the things that break your heart"? Have you ever heard that? That's a great prayer. You think the prayer of Jabez is a good prayer? I think that's a better prayer. Break my heart, God, with the things that break your heart. And I believe that God can use all of us in this room and many more to hold up with those women the other half of the sky. Because that's what God would want. And so we're going to open that opportunity for you. So over my course, I don't know how many times I've gone, 10, 11 trips over to Eastern Africa. Next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, I get to take my wife with me. She's never gone. She's heard stories. I can't tell you in my heart how important this trip is for me. We've been saving our shekels, our dollars, our cents, so we can do this because she needs to connect. She's got a lot of dots that, and we really believe when we finish parish ministry, we're going to do this for the rest of our life. So there's me sitting at Bank One Ballpark next to Gary crying my eyes out. Never been in the game. And now it's so important to me, I can't tell you. I just want to spend the rest of my life after we finish up doing parish ministry in that environment, because we're needed. And if you're thinking today, well, you're not talking to me, I am talking to you. I'm talking to every life in this room. And we're going to try to figure out, as we're in Kenya, we've got some, Cindy's put me on point to come up with a list for you of variety of opportunities. And we're going to come back on the 15th of March, and we're going to share those with you here at Growth Groups, so that maybe you get a picture of how you could be effective globally with half the sky issues. It's an honor to be here today. Always a great to be with my partner in crime, Pastor Glenn. Ken Holland, if God can use Ken Holland in Kenya, God can use all of you. It's been fun, this big white guy that I get to go into the marketplace where we're the only two white people for miles. When we went the first time, I remember Barack Obama was just campaigning for the presidency, and we were in this marketplace. Gary Mack was with us, too, so there was three white guys. Charlotte, I don't think you were there yet. I think it was the three of us. You came along in a couple of days, and because Barack has his Kenyan ancestry, people are yelling out to us, "Vote Obama, vote Obama," and I'm like, what is this? This is the weird place to be. But God gifts us in many ways and allows us to just bring his love and to help women globally, children who need moms, moms like you, connection points. So I give thanks. So I want to pray over this moment, and then you can conclude and do what you need to do. To Lord God, we are thankful that you touch our hearts and break them with the things that break your heart. Sometimes we think you're not talking to us. You talking to me, Lord? Yes. For you have said in Scripture that one of the most important things that is on your heart is the care. It's what you call true religion, the care of orphans and widows. And we just would pray that in this room today that there might be a catalyst that would begin to burn strong and hot in everyone's heart to think about how we might play a little portion, whether we would ever travel to Kenya or not, that we might be support systems of the greater adventure that you have placed in the possession of this church. We're thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I know we're close on, we're over time, but anybody have any burning questions that you just need to know about right now? We did that good a job, huh? No, I can't believe that. If you do, I would be very happy, and I know Ken would, Charlotte, Vanjie Speckles is here as well, and there are many others in the course of our community who have ventured to Africa. If you want to ask questions, email us, pick up the phone, do it the old-fashioned way, write a letter if you want, snail mail, grab a cup of coffee together. But let's talk, because God has an opportunity of a lifetime for us here at this church. And be proud in a humble way. Proud to be humble. I love that. I just think it, you know, we're supposed to not be proud. Proud to be humble. This church has done phenomenal things already at Cheryl's Children's Home. One of the Beyond initiatives, there was from the 10% that was tithed, $12,000 are now supporting the teachers of the school, because those teachers weren't getting paid. And so they were just, could you imagine going to work and not get a paycheck? I mean, when you need to have a paycheck, because there aren't any funds, and they kept teaching. And so this church has figured out that that's one of the support ways that we can be there. Another way to hold up half the sky.
As Growth Groups is special to me, you know, we've been walking through this journey for several years, and I really do care that you are empowered and equipped to go out into the world. We just touched on like the tiniest speck of ways that you can make a difference. But what can happen in times like this is we get stuck by compassion fatigue. What Pastor Greg has just done is said, here's a pathway to action. Here's some things you can do. You saw some pillowcase dresses and some of our quilts. Those are real tangible things. There's a whole list that Pastor Greg's going to come back with, but that's what's cool about being part of Good Shepherd. A couple last comments. This is not political. These are not Republican little girls. They're not Democratic little girls. They're just little girls. They're daughters of the Most High. They are sisters of the only king, of the only rightful king of the only kingdom that matters. It doesn't matter if they live in Kenya or Guatemala. One of the cool things about being part of Good Shepherd is that we are big, we are well-resourced, and we are in the game for the long haul. There are other groups that come and go, so you see an advertisement on TV, it touches your heart, you give your $5, and then you go on to watching the rest of the Super Bowl. But Good Shepherd's in this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's sustainable, so Cheryl's knows Good Shepherd's in the game. They're going to be here, and that's because you are faithful. So I want to say thank you. First of all, say thank you for being women of the King and daughters of the Most High who are willing to get in the game. Secondly, stay engaged. Become aware of what's happening around the world because your voice matters and it changes things. Third, pray about these things and then talk about them as a group and see what your group and what you as an individual want to do to get involved. And then educate your kids as well. The most important thing that we can do for women around the world. You want to change ISIS? Educate little girls and educate moms back in the villages so little boys don't grow up thinking that that's the way to live. Education changes people's lives and hearts. And Jesus was all about teaching and training. At the end of the Gospels, they come to Jesus and they ask him about the end of time. And Jesus says, one day we'll face the king and we'll face the judge. And the judge will say, did you go out and bring clothing? Did you go out and bring water? Did you go out and bring food? Did you go out and help those who were disenfranchised? And the righteous will say, when did we do that? And he'll say, whenever you touch one of these little ones for me, whenever you bring food and water and clothes and pillowcase dresses and quilts, whenever you do that, you are touching me because I am there with them. So this is a powerful way to be transformed by Christ. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for being part of growth groups. Thank you for allowing us to have this hour, so to speak, into your lives. Bless you and go forth and hold up your half of the sky.